current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's Word as signs of the times.
Good afternoon and welcome into Signs of the Times, our weekly look at Bible prophecy in the world's news for Friday, December 6th, 2019, along with Pastor Mark Kirk. I'm Greg Hilton. Thanks for joining us for the next 60 minutes or so as we take a look at news headlines from around the world. And we've been gone for 2 weeks, almost forgot how to turn everything on. So I'm glad I rushed in here realizing, oh, I didn't have this on and I didn't have that on. And Pastor Mark shaking his head. He's over there. He's disgusted by something he's looking at.
No, I'm laughing. No, I'm laughing at your comment. I'm just saying, you know, you're the one that's worried about all that. I don't. So okay. I'm over taking it easy and watching you figure it out. So everything's good.
All right. Well, anyway, but prophecy has not stopped. Even though we were off the air for the previous 2 weeks, prophecy is definitely not stopped. It's probably even ramping up even more so. And so we always encourage you to make sure you've got our website bookmarked on your mobile device or your computer at thesigns.org, where you can find everything related to our program and including prophecy that's happening as we speak from our friends at watch.org. Okay, so let's matter of fact, we've been gone for 2 weeks. I even forgot my little this week in whatever history stuff.
Right,
so,
but we have a question.
But we do.
So we can hit the question.
We do.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you for that prompt.
Yes.
This is from Stephanie. And Stephanie asked this, back on the 24th of November. So we're finally getting to her question.
Yes.
And it's revolving around an article that she saw on BreakingIsraelNews.com, and she says that this article showcases a new book targeted for children ages 5 to 10, where it's fun to conjure up gentle demons to communicate with.
Yeah.
A demon is gentle. That's interesting. She goes on to say this is highly disturbing and not something for anyone to trifle with, let alone children. If this is acceptable in society to make it through to be published and carried by many reputable distributors, then how far as a society have we fallen away from God? She said when I Googled the name of the book, it popped up online at Barnes & Noble, Walmart, and Target. And when she searched directly on Amazon's website, it came up there as well. So,
yeah, well, again, that's a great, a sad observation, but a very good observation, and it's something that's been building for quite a while. It's amazing to watch, you know, when a society begins to turn away from the Lord. It's never an overnight thing. It's a gradual thing, and we've been turning away from the Lord as a nation now. Started out gradual, it's getting much more aggressive, and you're seeing a whole change in attitude of our relation to God, our thoughts about God, and even our thought about Satan and the demonic realm. You know, we actually have, I think one of the major, Greg, I think national turning points for me is when I saw satanic covens being accepted on our military bases. You know, when you go to the point where you're able to say, okay, maybe you don't believe 100% in Satan, or you don't believe in all the things of religion, as the world might say, but you come to the point where you say, we're going to actually allow the worship of a dark being that is in opposition to the God of the Bible, and we're going to say, that's okay, if it's going to be a legitimate religion on a military base. That takes a major step governmentally. That's crossing a line, I believe.
Yeah.
And I believe things like that begin to cross lines, if you will, into just this acceptance of it, and now almost kind of I don't know how to describe it. It's just a real, I'm watching it grow more and more. So the book doesn't surprise me. But.
No. And when I think about TV shows that are out there, one is recently called, I think, Evil. The other one is called Lucifer.
Right.
And I mean, the vampire stuff that's out there of many different
flavors, you know, TV and then in movies and things like that. I think what all of those things do is it helps to desensitize people to the reality of what the spirit world is really about when it comes to the angels that God created and the angels that decided to rebel against God with Satan.
Yeah.
And so it desensitizes people to the truth.
Yeah.
And it sensationalizes it as if this is something attractive.
Right.
That we would want to be a part of or believe that they've got our best interests at heart.
Yeah.
And they don't.
No. And I saw the book that was referenced here, and it's shocking to see that kind of thing. But again, although it shocks me, it doesn't shock me as much as it should or used to, because I have watched our nation turn away. And, you know, Greg, one of the things we're watching happen is the Satanists. It's one thing to dislike God, and it's another thing to become a Satanist and then to be this aggressive. But there's been a real aggressive use of freedom in America by the enemy here in the last few years that's really picking up pace. So let me explain what I mean. Here's the beauty of freedom. The beauty of freedom is you're free to worship God, and you're free to do things that can honor God. But the problem is those who are evil are also free to do evil as long as they don't break the law. And so that's the bad part about when you talk about democracy or freedom. The bad side is that the bad guys also have the freedom to do things that aren't good, whether it be, you know, inappropriate life or things, et cetera.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've watched this is a great time to bring it up, because here at the Christmas time of year, you've watched over the years. Now they start saying, okay, you're free to put up your nativity scene. Well, we're free to put up a satanic thing here at Christmas as well. And you actually see in town squares now, satanic, I can't call it a nativity scene, just honor to Satan in the town square right over from the nativity scene, because they're saying, hey, we have a right. You can do it. We're going to do it too. And it's really not because they want to honor anybody. It's really just more of an in your face because we can. Maybe you read in the papers recently what's going on with the Knox County schools. This goes in line with this. This happened just this year. You know, we have what we call the Good News Clubs, and we're a part of one of those where we go, and after hours, we teach the kids about the love of the Lord and do all these kind of things. And there's all kinds of agendas like that. Well, the Satanists got wind of it, and I don't think they really, really mean any of this or really want to have any kind of positive. Obviously, they don't want to have some kind of positive impact. But all of a sudden, now the Satanists are saying they applied so that they could bring Satanist events into school after hours as well. Literally.
So they want to have the Bad News Club?
And they got approved. They got approved. Wow. Yeah, they don't call it the Bad News Club. No. But they actually, in this mockery, they say, we just want to thank Knox County Schools for letting us, you know, bless our children with Satan. And they, it's a real mocking type of, even the wording is very obviously mocking and this kind of thing. And really what it is, it's almost like it's in your face. If you Christians are going to try this, then we're going to counteract it with our evil and act like it's something good or something. And really, I don't think they would do it at all. They don't care about, you know, they'd love to pull more kids away from God, but they don't care about anybody but themselves. They're just trying to take the freedoms we have and to use them against us. So to see a book like that, it is shocking. Hopefully there wouldn't be many that would be sold, but to see a book like that where people would actually put something out, and you see all these places, there's so much political pressure now. Like, if you don't print it, what are you saying? That's like saying if I wrote a book about homosexuality or same-sex marriage or any other political issue, if you don't put it in the stores and give it like almost greater treatment than you would other books, you're seen as either a racist or a bigot or you're whatever, like homophobe, whatever label. So I think that a lot of this comes, they put this stuff out there knowing that Barnes & Noble and these people that are carrying it, Target, Walmart, and all that, they know that if we don't put it out there, we're going to be attacked by these groups. And they're going to say, look at you, you're discriminating.
Free speech.
Yeah, you're discriminating. So they use free speech and freedom to their advantage, but when you use yours, they attack you and try to stop you. Satan's not stupid. Remember, we said this before. Satan is not dumb. He's just evil. He's very, very smart. He's deceived, but he's not dumb. So I hope that answers your question. Yes, it does show. There wasn't much of a question, I guess, as much as it was a statement.
Yeah, you agree with what she's saying.
I mean, absolutely.
That's exactly how far we've fallen as a society when we think those things are good to educate our children about in terms of encouraging them to participate. And, and listen, that stuff is real.
Yeah, and throughout history, what you see is as nations fall away, they become more and more blatantly demonic. You know, and again, you look back at the worship that they did, Greg, back in biblical times, and sometimes we were shocked.
Right.
They actually did these things, and they honored these false gods. Well, we're heading that way.
Yeah.
We're honoring false gods, Satan and the demonic realm, and so we're no different. Mankind's told us that evil heart, it just depends on where you are as a culture, and thus we were with God, and now we're coming away from God, and we're heading the same direction. Man repeats himself because we're the same sin nature.
Absolutely. Well, Stephanie, thank you for your question and for forwarding that information to us. And if you've got a question or you found something like Stephanie did, we encourage you to go to our website at thesigns.org, send Pastor Mark that prophecy question, or you can tweet us on Twitter, and our handle there is at Prophecy Help. Before we get into the main topic, we were talking about the enemy and the fallen angels, and you said something the other day that really spoke to the depth of deception that Satan is capable of. Because when we think about God's created beings, the angels, they're right there in heaven. They know beyond a shadow of a doubt who created them.
That's right.
Who's the one true living God?
Right.
You know, who is sovereign over all? But yet, in spite of that, Satan, through his deception and cunning ways, in the midst of being in the middle of the truth of the light, in the presence of God, was able to convince one third of the angels that, no, I'm the one that you should follow.
Yeah, we're going to win.
We're going to win.
Unbelievable.
Isn't that? Yeah. Anyway.
I mean, I often, and I know it's not exactly the same, but I always joke about it. It's like if you make a model car and all of a sudden it decides, I think I can take you. The model car, I can take you. You can't. You're a piece of plastic I made you. I can take you. Give it a shot. And so you have these created beings who are created by God, and they go, we can take him. We can take him. And again, it shows you how deceptive pride is. Pride is an extremely deceptive thing. I think Satan really believes. He really believes that he has a chance.
Yeah.
He's deceived himself that much, and yet he doesn't. So, you know, that's what we're facing, and that's our warning for us not to be prideful as well.
Yeah. Well, and even when you're talking about the Satanist and whatever, it's at the heart of what happened in the garden and what happened in heaven in the fall, and that is rebellion.
Yeah.
No, we don't want to submit.
Yeah.
We want to do it our way.
That's right. That's right.
You know, and so here we are.
Okay,
so
we are.
So let's take all of that, mix it in a blender, and I'm sure that your main subject is going to come out in the middle of
it
all
is.
Of that.
It is, and I want to have a discussion here again with the time we have left to talk a little bit about, you know, again, if you have to almost be dead not to watch what's happening in our country with the impeachment thing going on, and maybe you're not as aware of what's going on in Israel right now. Benjamin Netanyahu has been indicted, and he's under great attack as well. And you look at these two world leaders, and you wonder, why are these two world leaders under such attack on a constant basis? Again, we're not declaring that it's impossible that either our president or Netanyahu or any other leader has ever done wrong. We're not making that assumption. We don't know all the details of everything. But the point is, why are these two, the two now that are being attacked worldwide? Our president's been under constant attack. It hadn't stopped, and I don't think it'll stop the whole time he's in office. And Benjamin Netanyahu as well, under greater and greater attack. And again, you look at it, what I want us to do today is to now, again, look at this from a spiritual perspective and the spiritual agenda. And this is where I think it's hard sometimes for us because we like to micromanage our people and micromanage our thoughts and micromanage our viewpoints. But if you look at your computer and you have a map called up, if you've ever done that, and look at the bottom and you've got that plus arrow and that minus arrow, probably all of us have seen that before if you've ever worked on any kind of map on a computer. What I want you to do right now mentally is hit that minus arrow and keep hitting it until you back all the way up. Don't go in close, no close-ups, no Google Earth of the street or your address or your mailbox. Back up all the way to where you can see the earth from heaven, and all you see is that you're out in space, and there's the earth. That's the viewpoint we have to have. And we have to see the spiritual agenda and prophetic viewpoint to understand what's going on in our world. Why our president is under such attack? Why Benjamin Netanyahu? Why are these the two right now that are worldwide that are being focused on and attacked and scrutinized above all other world leaders? And the answer is simple. It's spiritual. You look at what's going on in Israel. God has made promises to Israel and to the nation of Israel. Benjamin Netanyahu is standing for Israel and for the land and what's right. He's going to come under great persecution from Satan and the demonic realm. And it's going to play itself out through politics. That's just how it works. Now you come to America. Same thing. And again, Benjamin Netanyahu is not a Christian. He doesn't know the Lord. Now you come to America. Same thing. I don't see any real evidence that President Trump knows the Lord. I'm not going to argue with anybody out there that says he does. That's fine. But I don't see any true fruit of it. I see some, you know, go to church a couple times and stand for some of the right things. But so it's not an issue of knowing God or not knowing God. It's the fact that Benjamin Netanyahu stands in the way of the agenda of the Antichrist and Satan. And President Trump stands in the way of the agenda of Satan and the Antichrist. It doesn't mean that President Trump's godly. It doesn't mean that Benjamin Netanyahu's godly. What I'm trying to get you to think about as a Christian is, it doesn't matter about the person that's in charge, whether they're good or bad. And everybody's making the argument, do I like the president? Do I not like the president? Do I agree with the president? Do I not agree with the president? Do I like Benjamin Netanyahu? Do I not like Benjamin Netanyahu? Do I agree? Do I... That's not the issue for the believer. We've got to, again, we're looking at the earth from outer space, from God's perspective, and realize what is going on spiritually. And this is where I want us to, we have to rise above this as a church and understand this, because I often hear the question, and I heard it again just recently this week, why do Christians just blanket stand with President Trump? Don't they see that he has all these things wrong with him, et cetera, and they start listing whatever it is. It's not about President Trump or what he has right or what he has wrong. We have to look at the world prophetically and spiritually and decide, what is God doing? What is the enemy doing? And where should we stand in light of that?
Yeah.
And so that's really where, you know, where I wanted to kind of focus in on some of this and kind of share some of the agenda things. And I think the first thing to do to you know, why do we stand? We have to stand with God, and we have to stand with God's agenda, regardless of who the person is or whether we agree with the person or not. So it's not blindly standing with the president or a candidate. It is standing with God and God's word and the prophetic picture, and whoever's in that proper category, that's where we've got to stand. And so, I am convinced, and I've said this before, regardless of what you think about our president, God is using him right now to hold back the agenda of the Antichrist. And what do I mean by that? And I believe God is using Benjamin Netanyahu to hold back and fight against the agenda of the Antichrist. And let's talk a little bit about the agenda of the Antichrist, and maybe you'll begin to see what I'm talking about and see why we have to stand with whoever and whatever is there that's going to preserve the earth, save the earth, and stand with God in what his agenda and plan is for the earth. Again, picture it like a board game. You've got a board game and you have two pieces on there, okay? Well, for argument's sake, whatever color you want to pick, you know, I was going to say you put red and blue on there if you want to do some kind of analogy here. But the bottom line is you got your two pieces there. You're rolling the die. You're trying to find out now what is the agenda of the blue piece, what's the agenda of the red piece, and realize the person running the game is the one that's in charge of those pieces. He's moving those pieces the way he wants them to move. They're not moving on their own. There's a lot larger thing going on. Mankind thinks he controls himself in this world, but he doesn't. God controls this world, and God allows Satan limited control of this world. And so we have to see, you know, where are we in this game, so to speak, following that analogy, and then where should we stand in order to stand with God? Now, what are the agendas of the Antichrist? Let's talk about this. Satan's desire is that the entire world be unified. One world government. We see the Bible says in the last days that will happen. And so in order for one world government, you have to, what, tear down all walls? All boundaries, all things that separate, and that means physically and politically. Now, when you do that and you say, all right, there's agenda number one, tear down all walls politically and physically. Well, when you look, okay, who's standing for building walls and not doing that, and who's standing for tearing walls down and doing that? This is how you see the agenda of the enemy and God's holding back the enemy until it's time. There's going to come a point where God's going to remove all opposition, and the Antichrist is going to be able to move forward with his agenda. But I'll use that as one example right there. When you look at where the agenda is of our president, he right now is still standing with keeping the boundaries up physically and politically for our nation. That is what the Bible says is fighting against the agenda of the Antichrist. And those that are standing for tearing down walls and tearing down all political boundaries and getting everybody just becoming one, that is actually, although it may sound good to man, that's the agenda of the Antichrist. So there's one issue right there. You say, well, why would you stand with the president? Because I see the president, whether he knows it or not, whether he's a Christian or not, whether you like him or not, he is being used to basically confront and come against what the Bible says in Revelation is the agenda of the Antichrist. And anybody that's against that is on the other side, so to speak. Now, that's just one issue. Now, what's another issue? Well, you talk about world religion. We'll get into some of that in the second half. But the Bible also says the Antichrist desires that all religions become one. He wants the world to worship him ultimately. We talked about that book and Satan worship. He ultimately wants that, Greg, and he's going to want that, again, the world to worship him. Many people worship him and don't realize they're doing it, and many people will worship him and know they're doing it. And he's going to get that adoration and that worship through the Antichrist, because the Antichrist is going to declare that he's God, and Satan's going to be working through him. So there's going to be a one-world religion. You'll probably still be able to keep your religious group if you're a Buddhist or this or that or whatever, but you've got to ultimately show and say, all right, the Antichrist is really the main God that we have to do. And so you're going to be giving that honor and that whole tearing down of the religious walls as one.
Does the enemy have the power to falsely bless those who worship him?
Oh, absolutely. And this is where it's interesting. I can share for sure one way he does it.
Okay.
Because Jesus revealed to us. You remember the woman that was bent over in the temple there? Jesus said she was bent over, and she was in that position, bent over in this crippling state because of Satan for 18 years. He said Satan has done this to her for 18 years. He literally said who it was and how long he'd been. And he said basically Satan had put some type of affliction on her that she obviously didn't know God, or God allowed it, or whatever the case might be. She's bent over in this position for 18 years. The Lord basically set her free from that, released her, he rebuked the enemy and set her free from that. And so it shows us that some afflictions can be demonically influenced, not all of them, but some of them. And so that particular one was. One way that Satan could deceive people or make it seem as though he's blessing, because this could be to his advantage, even though he wants people to be crippled, he wants people to be destroyed. If he thought it would further his agenda, he himself could release his grip on someone. Let's say he's got them crippled.
Right.
All he has
right.
to do is remove that.
Right.
And they go, oh, a miracle.
Yeah.
All he did was let them go. No miracle. He just quit harassing them, basically.
Yeah.
So that's one way. And we do know. I don't know whether or not he has the power to heal and those kind of things. I don't see that in Scripture. But again, at the same time, he can remove his affliction, which would give the appearance of that as far as that goes. But again, the political system and the religious system, the one world religion, when you look at where our president is, the president is standing with the rights of believers and Christians. And you see others that are saying, you know what, we shouldn't give Christians rights and all these other things. So again, why do we stand with the president? There's another reason, not because he's good or bad. That's not the issue. The issue is whether he knows it or not, he's standing against the agenda of the Antichrist and with the agenda of God. And as you go down the list, really, Greg, I look at this. What's another agenda? Another agenda of the enemy has always been to Jesus said he was a murderer from the beginning, a liar and a murderer. And we watch throughout history how Satan has desired to murder people, to kill people, to execute people. The babies there in Jesus' day, you know, we went and killed all the babies 2 years old and under and all this, trying to kill the Messiah. And there's all these historical, you know, events where children have been murdered and people have been put to death. And then we see today, once again, the execution of babies in the womb and the execution, the partial birth execution of babies. And I know it's called abortion. That makes it a more palatable word, but really it's an execution of a human life. You're putting to death a human either in the womb or outside the womb. So you've got this execution going on. Again, that's another mark of the enemy, Greg. And when you look at the agendas today of our leaders in our nation, you've got one side that stands against the execution of babies, and you've got one side that stands with the execution of babies. Now, which one is the agenda of the Antichrist? So, again, this is not to make some political argument. This is to make a point. If you don't step back and look at this from the Bible and from a spiritual agenda, then you could easily zero in on any political leader and go, well, I can't vote for that person. I can't stand with that person because they, you know, whatever, they don't do, their socks stink. And I could never elect someone that has dirty feet. And I heard that their feet stink, so we're not going to elect them. Look, if they have dirty feet and they're standing against the agenda of the Antichrist, you need to stand with them.
Yeah.
That's the key. And so we have to somehow, as believers, I don't expect the world to respond to this. And my guess is right now there's probably believers listening to this that are being challenged right now because of where they're standing, maybe in their viewpoints of whatever their political viewpoint is. What my challenge to you is this, is go back and pray about this. Am I wrong? Step back. Hit that backwards arrow. Back up. Don't look at the individual person. And I get back to the issue of why do Christians blanketly stand with President Trump? The issue is not President Trump. I look at that board game again. You want to win the game. So you're going to take that piece that's moving, that God is moving, and you're going to see where is God moving the most, where is God not moving the most. Neither of them are going to be 100% because only God's 100%, but which one is the most? And you're going to move with the one that God is moving with and against the one that would fight against God. And when you do that, you've got to ally yourself or stand with that, because that's the agenda. And you just pray for the individual. Yeah. You know, we need to be praying for our president, that he does have a true relationship with Christ. We need to be praying for Benjamin Netanyahu. We need to be praying for all of our leaders. But I just really, again, had it in my heart today to reemphasize, to answer that question. When people say, why do the Christians blanketly stand with President Trump? Can't you see that, you know, his feet stink, or that he doesn't come with hair rot, or what you make? You go down your list of your things you don't like. That's not the point. That you don't stand with somebody because they either this or that. What is God's agenda? What is the Antichrist agenda? And we need to ally ourselves the most with God's agenda that we can. And I truly, you know, Greg, right now, again, the only world power I see that is standing against, and I would say two world powers standing against the agenda of the Antichrist, would be America and Israel, that are actively standing against it, because everyone else is giving in. Britain has been one of the closest to stand with the agenda of God. They're now giving in. They've gone totally over to this more of this kind of the agenda of the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. Israel doesn't know the Lord, but by them standing for themselves as a nation and trying to do what's right, even in alliance with America, they're standing in the right place. America, with all its sins and all of its problems and all the issues you may have about personal issues you have with any leader that we might have, we're still the only nation right now. God is using us to hold back. If you removed our president right now and you put in somebody that was a super liberal president, okay, totally with the world's agenda, Greg, overnight, we would be tearing down all walls, physically and politically. Overnight, we'd be fighting or pushing to unite all religions to be as one. Overnight, we would be doing these agendas that the Bible says will be in place in Revelation in the last days. And so I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I'm saying if you had the right person in there, that could happen, which shows me that God simply has somebody there blocking the way right now, because it's not time. And when it's time, I don't care who's in office. The world's going to unite as one politically. The world's going to unite as one, religiously. The world's going to unite as one economically. And this is another thing. Look, here's another point. You've got, again, our president right now on the economic side saying, and we're leading the world right now economically because he's protecting our economy. He's put America, he talked about America first. That's Antichrist agenda. I mean, it's not Antichrist agenda. It's anti-Antichrist agenda.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the wording of that's funny. The point is, that's right in the face of the Antichrist. The Antichrist wants there to be a unified world economy. He doesn't want any nation to lead.
No.
He doesn't want any nation. He wants a unified economy wrapped together that he will take as a whole sometime in the future. So what I'm saying is, all the positions that our president is standing on, no matter what you think about our president, all the positions he's standing on, or at least the majority, as far as I know, they are opposing what the Antichrist wants to do, Satan and the Antichrist. And when you look at what's happening and those that are opposing the president, Greg, in all honesty, they're standing, they don't know it, but they're standing in large part with the agenda of the Antichrist and what Satan wants to do in the last days. So we have got to get away from our personal viewpoint of an individual, and we've got to back up and see from God's viewpoint prophetically and spiritually. And so, again, why do we stand with the president? Because, again, I see God using him to hold back the move of the Antichrist, regardless of what he's like personally, regardless of whether he knows God or not, whatever the case might be. As believers, we've got to stand with God's agenda. And I'm not even saying our president stands with God's agenda. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying we've got to stand with God's agenda, and we've got to find out from looking at the earth as a whole, where do we get in on the game? Where do we stand in all this? And we've got to back those who are fighting the Antichrist and back those who, whether they know it or not, are standing with what God's trying to do. And so that's why we stand with our president. And that's why the attacks are coming against him nonstop, because he's in the way. This is a spiritual attack.
Yeah.
The president is in the way of what Satan wants to do.
Politics and political parties are nothing more than a conduit for our religious beliefs and the beliefs that we hold true to ourselves, that we believe about life and everything else. They're nothing more than a conduit for those beliefs to play out on the public stage through policy, through legislation, through whatever.
Yeah.
That's all they are. And people have to pull back and see it. Forget your political label of Democrat, Republican, independent. It's really how in line are you with what God says is the right thing to do, and how in line are you with what the enemy says is the right thing to do, because it comes down to those two.
And let me make this point real fast as the music starts. If there was a, this is not about Republican, if there's a Democratic leader that comes up and he's standing with God's agenda and against the Antichrist, I will stand with that Democratic president in a heartbeat.
Great
point.
So
understand, this has nothing to do with politics. This
Great
is what does the Bible say
yes.
and the spiritual viewpoint from the heavens.
Yeah, that was probably the most important thing to be said right there.
Yep, absolutely.
See? Anyway, we've got lots of articles to discuss, so don't go anywhere. Signs of the Times will be right back after Israel in the News.
WIAM-LP
101.1 FM, Knoxville.
From the headquarters of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews in Jerusalem, this is Israel in the News. I'm Bob Sauer. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo held a meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Portugal on Wednesday. The two spoke on progress being made with regard to Iran amid London's NATO summit also taking place this week.
In this time where there are anti-Iran protests taking place in Baghdad, and we all know what's going on in Iran itself. These are people that are seeking freedom and a reasonable way to live, and they recognize the threat that is posed by the kleptocrats that are running the Islamic Republic of Iran. So we talked with our European partners about that and how we can together ensure that we do everything we can to create opportunity for these people who simply want freedom.
Ahead of his meeting with Secretary of State Pompeo, Prime Minister Netanyahu spoke to reporters saying, quote, "We're seeing the Iranian empire totter," referring to recent protests against Tehran in Iran, Iraq, and Lebanon. Meanwhile, Netanyahu praised the United States for applying, quote, "tremendous pressures and sanctions on Iran," calling also for added pressure from other countries against Iranian aggression. Anti-immigrant, racist, and anti-Semitic sentiment has been on the rise in Europe for some time. Fox's Amy Kellogg reports.
An Italian Holocaust survivor breaks her silence after being the target of hate messages. Liliana Segre told an Italian newspaper that those who hate must be stopped, and also that she will not give up. For sharing her stories of Auschwitz, she was made senator for life in Italy. But after proposing the Senate study the phenomenon of hate, she herself became a target, and police decided to give her an escort for her safety. Some say that anti-Semitism is not necessarily on the rise in Italy, that it's always existed, but that expression of anti-Semitic thought is up, and so is anti-immigrant and racist rhetoric. Politicians on both sides of the aisle have been blamed by many for using language that emboldens society to express negative sentiment.
In the UK, The Guardian newspaper reports that Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn gave a reluctant apology to the Jewish community on Tuesday, following widespread criticism over the rise of anti-Semitic behaviour shown by his party. On the UK's ITV channel programme called This Morning, announcer Philip Schofield interrupted Corbyn's talk telling him, quote, "Just say you're sorry." Corbyn responded by saying, quote, "Obviously, I'm very sorry for everything that's happened, but I wanted to make this clear. I am dealing with it. I have dealt with it." This has been Israel in the News, a weekly news summary presented by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. Find out how you can help the needy in Israel and the former Soviet Union celebrate Hanukkah by visiting israelinthenews.org. That's israelinthenews.org. I'm Bob Sauer.
Signs of the Times now continues. Here again is your host.
Welcome back to the second half of Signs of the Times, our weekly look at Bible prophecy in the world's news for Friday, December 6th, 2019. This is episode 102 for our podcasters. And we do appreciate you podcasting either through iTunes, Google Play, or iHeartRadio. Or you might be going to our website because you're super techie in grabbing the RSS feed and getting our program that way. During Israel in the News, Pastor Mark, my brain was going back to the very beginnings of this program in 2007 when our show was basically just kind of laying out the groundwork of what the Bible was talking about in various areas of prophecy.
Right.
That the Bible says the things that are going to happen. And we'd get a news article here and a news article there, and it was stuff that was kind of like, you know, off in the horizon. Okay, well, you look far down there, you see the thing between the mountains and all the way down.
Yes, mountaintops.
Yeah,
the valleys between them.
Yeah, that's all we could see at that point. And to fast forward here to the end of 2019 and think back over so many years of the articles that we've covered, the things that have happened that have really, you can, when you pull back, you know, kind of like hit that minus button, you know, and pull back at the at the whole length of this program since we've been on the air, which is just a short amount of time, 2007 to 2019, what, 12 years?
Yeah.
That's nothing.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of prophecy coming to pass
really
in 12 years.
It's amazing to think of what's happened the last. It shows you how fast. Remember, it says in Daniel chapter 12 that once it starts, it's going to be quick. It's going to be happening. It's going to speed up. And the Lord talks about that in Revelation as well.
Yeah, it really is. Okay, so let's get into some articles. Israel in the News was talking a lot about Benjamin Netanyahu, and so is Yahoo.com.
Yes.
With a question, the end of King Bibi. Indicted Netanyahu fights for his future.
Yeah, and again, not referring to him as king, like he's trying to be a king of Israel.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's really more of the fact he's been in power for a long time. Benjamin Netanyahu's indictment on corruption charges prompted speculation Friday that the end of his decade-long tenure was nigh, though several key allies expressed support for the beleaguered Israeli prime minister. Now, Greg, this was right in line with what we talked about. The attack on our president's not going to stop. The attack on Netanyahu's not going to stop.
Very much so, yes.
Unless, here's the thing. If a leader gets into America or Israel that's more in line with the Antichrist agenda, you'll see the attacks will stop.
Oh yeah, they will.
They will stop. But at this point, you got two guys that are fighting against that Antichrist agenda.
Yes.
They're going to get walloped by the enemy.
Yep.
The Jewish state woke up to an indicted sitting prime minister for the first time after the attorney general announced late Thursday that he charged the 70-year-old with bribery, fraud, and breach of trust. After months of speculation. The decision was the worst possible outcome for Netanyahu, they say, hitting with the most serious charges. Israel's longest-serving premier swiftly hit back, vowing to fight on and accusing the police and legal system of bias against the right wing in an often angry speech. In a video statement posted online Friday, Netanyahu said he would abide by any ruling. I quote, "We will accept the decisions of the court, there's no doubt about that, and will act in accordance with the rule of law. Under Israeli law, while prime ministers cannot remain in place after being indicted, a premier is not legally required to resign unless convicted and with appeals processes exhausted." So the point is they can't remove him because of this. But again, I want to bring up the point. These are the two world leaders right now that are under the greatest attack. And I believe it is a spiritual attack. I know it manifests out through man. And I realize there are politics and people always fight in politics. But these are Israel specifically, the promises of God. And Netanyahu is standing for Israel. He's trying to promote the land being annexed and all the things that God promised to the nation. While the more liberal side within Israel is fighting against that. And then again in America, our president is standing again against the agenda, whether he knows it or not, of what the Antichrist will be doing in the last days. So he getting heat as well. This is spiritual, guys. Mm-hmm. Recognize the spiritual, and you'll understand what's happening in our world.
All right, Ezekiel 38 and 39, probably the, what is it, the, what do they call that? What do they call that pin in the grenade?
I just always thought it was a pin.
Okay, well, maybe. I was thinking maybe like a linchpin or something. I don't know what it is.
Let me see. I'll try to look
cotter,
it up.
A cotter pin?
Is it a cotter pin?
I don't know what kind of pin it is. Anyway, not to be confused with pen, but it's a pin that you pull, and then when you let go of the trigger or the whatever it is that they call it on the hand grenade,
right,
then you've got X amount of seconds before that thing blows up.
Right.
And Ezekiel 38 and 39 is really like the pin in the grenade of the latter days prophetic events that have yet to be fulfilled.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Once Ezekiel explodes like a hand grenade,
right,
then we're going to see all these other prophecies that we continue to talk about really come to their full bloom, their full fruition.
Yeah, and it's a firing pin.
And it is a firing pin. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, all right. MSN.com is reporting that U.S. officials are saying that Iran is secretly moving missiles into Iraq.
Yeah, this is interesting. Listen to this. And, of course, we know Iran's building up their missile system. They attacked the oil fields recently in Saudi Arabia with cruise missiles. So they have some advanced technology
now. Yes, they
do. Iran has used the continuing chaos in Iraq to build up a hidden arsenal of short-range ballistic missiles in Iraq, part of a widening effort to try to intimidate the Middle East and assert its power, according to American intelligence and military officials. But new intelligence about Iran's stockpiling of missiles in Iraq is the latest sign that the Trump administration's efforts to deter Tehran by increasing the American military presence in the Middle East has largely failed. Now, again, I want to say this. They're saying it's failed because missiles have gotten in, but I will say this. They haven't fired them yet. So has it completely failed? I wouldn't say that, but they certainly have gotten missiles in there. The missiles pose a threat to American allies and partners in the region, including Israel and Saudi Arabia, and could endanger American troops, the intelligence officials said. An arsenal of missiles outside its borders gives advantages to the Iranian government, military and paramilitary in any standoff with the United States and its regional allies. So they're growing in power is the bottom line. If the United States or Israel were to bomb Iran, its military could use missiles hidden in Iraq to strike back against Israel or a Gulf country. The mere existence of those weapons could also help deter attacks. Intelligence officials would not discuss the precise model of ballistic missile Iran has sneaked into Iraq, but short-range missiles have a range of just over 600 miles. That's a long way over there, meaning that one fired from the outskirts of Baghdad could strike Jerusalem. In the strike in September, Iran, again, that was that oil field, Iran used sophisticated cruise missiles to attack Saudi oil facilities and disguise, at least for a time, where the strikes originated. Notice this, Greg. Those missiles were fired from Iran but flew around the northern Persian Gulf before striking their targets. So they have enough oomph and understanding to actually fly them. They just program in GPS where they're going to go, but they fly them around the long way. They come back in, so nobody knew exactly immediately where they came from. Now, we're able to trace that and see we know where they came from. But here's the bottom line. Iran is getting more sophisticated in their weaponry and in their systems, and we know that they're going to be, again, one of the major players coming against Israel in the last days with the nation of Russia. And I want to take just a moment, Greg, before we move on, to talk about, it's something we don't have an article on this, but what's happening inside of Iran, briefly to give our listeners, I think they need to know this, some information I ran across today. Iran right now, you won't hear this in the news, Iran is in greater turmoil than anybody would really understand as far as the actual nation. Their leadership, the people really, as far as a whole, majority-wise, don't stand with the leadership. The leadership has them under their control, under their power, and it's the radicals leading the nation, and they have the power and the military, so they're holding everyone else under this control. But the reality is, the people are not really standing with them. And if you remember back in the 70s, it was the Shah of Iran was overthrown. He stood with America. He was a more of a diplomatic-minded Iranian. There was a relationship developing between America and Iran that was strengthening, and the radicals overthrew him. The street fights, the street battles, the street disruptions that happened back when the Shah was there, they're not nearly as bad as what's happening right now. So the government toppled and turned over back in the 70s when they opposed the Shah. There's actually worse opposition going on in Iran right now. And the question is the leadership going to be able to hold on to power, or could this even be something that pushes them, because they think they're losing power, to go ahead and attack Israel and kind of push things in that sense, if you will, which could happen. But, you know, we need to keep our eye on this. They're executing their own people. Hundreds of people they're surrounding are just executing and that are opposing the government right now.
Well, that's why I told you that I had heard a report that Iran had cut off the internet.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that, but I believe it.
But for that reason.
Yeah.
For that reason. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, either way. Wow. Yeah. So you're seeing, you know, you're not hearing about this in the news right now, but it's going on in Iran. Keep your eye on that, because this kind of unrest and somebody trying to topple a government, this could be the very thing that could cause a government in their desperation to say, you know what, we may go down, but before we go down, we're taking Israel. And it's almost like what Saddam did by firing the rockets. And who knows, that could be that hook in the jaw and pull Russia into it, and we have the whole Middle East battle going. So keep your eye on that.
Yeah, and if they think they're going to lose power quick, their main goal is not to take care of their people, leadership. Their main goal is to wipe Israel out.
Unfortunately,
the poor people of Iran.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're just pawns in this thing.
Believe it or not, yes. Greg, the majority of the youth now in Iran, they want democracy, don't want to be under Sharia law. They don't want anything.
Look at Hong Kong.
Yeah. Same kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, well, I think the rest of the show we're just going to dedicate to Pope Francis, because it seems like about every every article that's left has something to do with him. This is from Breaking Israel News regarding One World Religion. The Pope advances his One World Religion agenda and presents a Buddhist leader with a manifesto. What is all of that about?
Well, again, we talked about the agenda of the Antichrist at the beginning of the program. Let me bring it up again. The agenda, one of the agendas of the Antichrist is to unite the world in a one world religion. And again, he may allow you to continue on in whatever your group is to a degree, as long as you acknowledge him as the ultimate God of this earth. And so, because the point is, he wants everyone worshiping him. So he's going to have to unite all religions. And this article is going to bring up a very good point. We know that the Catholic Church, I believe, is going to be leading the way in the last days to unite all this. So I think the false prophet very likely will be a pope, if you will. And because it lines up so perfectly with Scripture, but there's going to be a religious leader with the Antichrist uniting the world in that one world religion. And we've seen the Catholic Church being a leader in this now for many, many years. This is just further evidence of it. But you're also going to see in this article some opposition, which I'll explain something else that's going to have to happen here in the last day. So this will be interesting to watch how this unfolds. Pope Francis topped off his three-day visit to Thailand last Saturday with a meeting with Thailand's Supreme Buddhist Patriarch. And I'm not going to try to say this guy's name other than Mooney Wong, which is his last name. We'll call him Mooney, at a Bangkok temple. The meeting took place in front of a 150-year-old gold statue of Buddha. The Pope followed Buddhist custom by removing his shoes. During the meeting, the Pope gave the Buddhist patriarch the Declaration on Human Brotherhood, basically saying, you're my brother as a Buddhist spiritually, which, again, if he's claiming to know Christ, that's blasphemy. The declaration is a joint statement signed by Pope Francis, the Catholic of the Catholic Church. And notice this, also Sheikh Ahmed El Tayyib. Now, again, you're looking at Buddhists, Muslims, and Catholics here. The Grand Imam of the Al-Azhar last February in Abu Dhabi. The Pope met with the Imam last month to reinforce the declaration. And I quote, the fact that people are forced to adhere to a certain religion or culture must be rejected. Notice that. In other words, you shouldn't have to be forced to be Muslim because you're in an Islamic country. You shouldn't forced to be a Buddhist because you shouldn't be forced to be a Catholic or Christian because you're here. As to the imposition of a cultural way of life that others do not accept, as to the imposition, rather. Many theologians from both Catholicism and Islam, though, have criticized the agreement as untenable and essentially unacceptable to either religion, with both have buried, you know, the super secessionism separation as a basic tenet. It would seem that bridging the gap, between Islam and Buddhism will be an even more insurmountable task for the pontiff. Islam was founded in 7th century AD, approximately 600 years after the founding of Christianity, and several thousand years after Judaism began. As an aggressive form of replacement theology that is replacing Israel and the Bible with what's really right, Islam appropriated all the figures in the Christian and Jewish Bible as Muslim prophets. How convenient is that? Even though Buddha, which again didn't even exist at that time, even though Buddhism was founded in the 6th century AD or BC, Islam did not appropriate Gautama, the founder of Buddhism, as a Muslim prophet. This may be because Islam considers Buddhism to be a forbidden form of idolatry. And I quote, the Pope wants to unify all religions. I would say the Antichrist does. That's just the spirit of Antichrist working through the Pope. And all governments under one world order, Rabbi Ashur said. What's the big surprise? He's not hiding anything. Just listen to what he says, and who he is and his plans are right there for all to see. Now, let's unfold this a little bit. Again, spirit of the Antichrist working through the Pope to unite all religions. We know that's going to happen. That's why, and I've always known, I believe that the Catholic Church and the Pope's going to play a big part in that. And I think probably even be one, a Pope will be, I think, the false world religious leader, the false prophet. But with that said, I expect to see this. This doesn't surprise me to see this, but this brings up a point, Greg, that something's got to be dealt with before the Antichrist can fully implement his agenda. That is, Islam is not going to go along with Buddhism. Islam is not really going to totally go along with Catholicism, although they may pretend. Islam is, look, you either follow us or you die if you're truly a committed, you know, Muslim, so to speak, radical. So you know, I know they're not all that way. Not all Muslims are trying to kill people. That's not my point. I'm saying if you're truly committed to Islam, then you ultimately believe that you either will convert to Islam someday or you're gonna have to be done away with, basically, in this new kingdom that will come for Islam with their Mahdi and all that. So here's the point. How can there be a unified world religion when you still have radical Islam very much apart? That has been a problem for prophecy buffs for many years. It can't happen. I do believe, again, you look at the Bible says there'll be a revived Roman Empire in the last days. If you look at the way the Roman Empire did things, they saw Caesar as God. You had to give him your ultimate allegiance. But once you acknowledge that Caesar was God, you could worship all your individual other little gods beneath that. So I think the Antichrist is going to implement the same type system. I think you're going to see, as long as you acknowledge me as God ultimately, you'll be able to have your little Buddhist group or your little Catholic group or your little, that's fine. But there's one that won't go along, and that's Islam. So what do you do with the problem of Islam? Again, I'm not saying this totally solves it, but I think this brings into play the Ezekiel 38 and 39 battle, which we've talked about before, and that is when Iran moves against Israel, the radical Muslims around the world are going to get excited and unite. We're going to see Sudan get involved in that. We're going to see Sudan and Libya get involved in that. Turkey get involved in that. Russia and Iran going to be coming against them. And you're going to see, I believe, Greg, even as people traveled all over the world to join ISIS, I think you're going to see radical Muslims from all over the world joining in this battle. And the Bible says when God brings this battle, he's going to wipe out 4/5 of that army.
5/6.
Yeah, 5/6. And I think you're going to see a large, large portion of the radical Muslim community suddenly disappear from the earth, which can be a big part of solving this problem.
Well, here's what he's doing right now and what these stories are chronicling. Here's what this is doing. This is nothing more than seed planting. Now, he's going to get some of the less extreme in any of these religions to buy into this, especially from a coexist bumper sticker standpoint.
Right.
Okay. They're going to be all for it.
Right.
But what this is going to do, this is seed planting for everyone else who's standing their ground. And once they see what the after effect is from Ezekiel 38 and 39, then the Pope's going to be able to say, do you see what I'm trying to tell you?
We better unite.
We better unite. And then everyone's going to be like, okay, we're on board. And so the groundwork to get everyone on board has already been laid. It's now everyone's ready to get on the train now because they just saw the explosion.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right, Greg. And so we can see all this formulating. We know where we're going, so we can start filling in some of the gaps here. But it's amazing to watch.
Yeah. Well, you know, you talked about the spirit leading Pope Francis into these things. It's the same spirit that led, I'm blanking on the Pope's name prior to Francis. Why am I blanking on
It wasn't Paul, because he was the one before that, wasn't he?
Well, I'm blanking on him. But
Benedict.
Benedict, thank you. That's the same spirit that spoke to Benedict and told him, you need to step down.
Yeah, and let me make a quick point before we move on. We know we talked earlier about why we stand with certain leaders and politically and what's God's agenda. Now, again, now bring this over to religion.
Yeah.
Why would we be saying these things? It's not about attacking the Catholic Church or picking on some group. It's simply saying, what does the Bible say? What is the agenda of the Antichrist? The agenda of the Antichrist is a one-world religion. So any religious group, pull this away. Even as you saw the alliances between political things, now moving to the religious realm, the two most contentious of holidays. Happy holidays, right? Merry Christmas. But the bottom line is, why do you see this? What is the point when you see any religious group standing with a unified one world religion? I don't care who the group is. I don't care where you stand, what you're upbringing. That is allying yourself with the spirit of Antichrist. So we're to stand against that.
Yeah.
It makes the point even on a religious viewpoint.
Yeah. Multiple outlets are reporting that Pope Francis has been urged to repent.
Yeah, interesting.
By his own clergy.
Interesting, yes.
After participating in a quote-unquote idolatrous worship of a pagan goddess.
Isn't it interesting?
Do tell.
Isn't it interesting that a bunch of Catholic priests told the Pope to repent of worshiping a goddess?
Hello, again, Mary?
Yeah. Isn't it interesting? If it's Mary, it's okay. But if it's another one, it's not okay.
Very
the petition, signed by 100 clergy, scholars, and influential members of the church, demanded that the pontiff repent publicly and unambiguously for participating in the worship of Pachamama. I've never heard of Pachamama, but sounds like a southern goddess.
I was waiting for something funny to come out of you.
There should be, but I mean, whatever, you know, if Pachamama's happy, ain't happy, ain't
happy.
Nobody happy. And there you go. A pagan fertility goddess during the Amazon Synod at the Vatican last month. The group noted that all participation in any form of the veneration of an idol. Listen to what they said. Any veneration of an idol is objectively a grave sin that only God can judge. They do that every day in the Catholic Church. They worship idols by large numbers. I don't understand. Seems very hypocritical to me. But at the same time, because this is an idol that has to do with a pregnant goddess, it says the video of the October 1st ceremony held at the Vatican Gardens shows Francis blessing a statue of the naked pregnant goddess before receiving it as a gift from the Amazonian clergy. A few days later, the Pope prayed in front of the Pachamama statue at St. Peter's Cathedral and then accompanied in a procession into the Synod Hall. I mean, the whole thing is so pagan and so out there. It's like, where do you even begin on this? But the bottom line is that, again, remember, you're going to see more and more, again, this world, you're going to see a world spiritual leader leading the world into more apostasy against God and His Word. And, Greg, this just plays right into that.
Well, I think this next article, Pastor Mark, might play into this previous article.
Yeah.
And this is from WSJ.com. Pope Francis weighs adding a ecological sin to church teachings.
Again, Pope Francis, amazing, Greg.
Sinning against the earth.
Yes, isn't this something? Pope
Mother
Francis,
Gaia.
He made the environment a signature cause of his pontificate, said he was strongly considering adding the category of ecological sin to the Catholic Church's official compendium of teachings. Now, get this. He's saying he's God. I'm going to decide what sin is. I'm going to add a sin. I'm God. And so I'm going to say now that if you don't worship the environment, then you're in sin. Whereas worship of the environment is actually a sin in and of itself. So it's amazing to me the arrogance and the blindness here of this individual. And that document, he called global warming a major threat to life on the planet and called for a reduction of the use of fossil fuels. He also blamed the global market economy for the plundering of the earth at the expense of the poor and future generations. And yet God said, I gave the earth for mankind. And that God said he's going to preserve everything until he comes back. So this is, it's just like non-scriptural from beginning to end.
Right.
In 2016, the Pope added environmentalism, or the care for our common home, to the Catholic Church's traditional seven works of mercy. He also added it to the Beatitudes. The course that agreed, Lord, you know, Lord, you did a nice little speech there, a little sermon on the Mount of Beatitudes, but you left some stuff out. So I'm going to step in now and kind of fill in the gap, Jesus, because I'm greater than you. And I'm going to now fill in the gap and add these things. And this is such blasphemy. I don't even know where to begin on this. It's just insulting. On Friday, he said he was considering going further. We must introduce into the catechism of the Catholic Church the sin against ecology and the ecological sin against the common home because it's a duty. The Pope told, so sin now is based on duty rather than the Word of God. I fear for these people. I fear for them, especially when you're in the position of leading billions around the world in your religion. You're going to be give account to God one day. I fear for this individual. I fear for this Pope. I really do. I mean, this is not, it's not a matter of this is just, when you stand before God Almighty, he's going to say, wait a minute. No, I'm God.
Yeah.
My word's what you follow, not what you say. It's scary stuff. But again, it shows you that further move into not just taking care of the environment, Greg, but worship of the environment and actually saying it's a sin to do anything against it. Romans chapter 1, as people turn away from God, it says they begin to worship nature. They begin to worship the creature rather than the creator, which is God. That's exactly what this Pope is doing, and the world following in many ways.
No, yeah, and more to come, too. This is I'm afraid this is only going to get worse because the environmental movement is going to be probably the biggest uniter of the world together. Really.
Which is what I think we talked about. It could be used to unite the world.
Yeah. Exactly.
By the Antichrist.
Yeah. All right. Well, how about some good news to clean up this mess? OpenDoorsUSA.org is reporting that a man used to worship a devil god, and now he follows Jesus.
Right. And I can't read all the article, but
I want to read part seven.
Yeah. This is great. Chow, I don't know how he says his name.
Cho.
Yeah. Is a gentle, soft-spoken Christian man in his 20s. He is a husband, father, and farmer. He's part of a Vietnamese tribe called the Hmong. Most of Hmong people worship their ancestors through daily rituals they believe will protect them from illness, natural disasters, and other trials. Any Hmong who doesn't adhere to these ancient beliefs and rituals, thereby dishonoring their ancestors, is cast out and excommunicated from their family. They're basically put away and rejected. You know, when I was in Vietnam, did a mission trip in Vietnam, a teaching mission trip there, I saw one of these little altars set up and people burning things to their ancestors on it. Very interesting to see that in real life. And I go, wow, you know, how sad. You have that sense of that sad deception that Paul had when he was there at Mars Hill, you know, and all. But the bottom line is he was, again, worshiping his ancestors, all these things. His daughter got sick, And none of the things they were telling him to do were helping him. So he had his daughter had been exposed to Christianity. His daughter shared Jesus. A pastor came and prayed the name of Jesus for his daughter. His daughter was healed. He began to believe in Jesus. And because he did that, even as the Muslim is cast out by their family if they believe in Jesus, and the Jew is cast out if they believe in Jesus. In Vietnam, if you have ancestor worship and you believe in Jesus and quit doing that, you're cast out as well. And he was cast out, and yet it's exciting to see his love for the Lord, his stand for God. He lost his home because his village ran him away, and he said he knew in his heart when he lost his home that God was going to take care of him, because he was following the Lord.
Yeah.
And he said, it says a year passed since Cho and his family were forced to leave their village. He and his wife and the daughter have been living with his in-laws in a tiny 13 by 16 foot space. But because of you, Cho and his family, those that are involved in this ministry, are looking forward to moving into a new home. God gave them a home. What did the Bible say? If you leave family homes, friend, God will give you, you know, hundredfold. He says, through your provision, that is those supporting this, he's been able to buy wood, pay for a worker to build a new house for him and his family. He and his family have seen the amazing love of God, he says. Because of you, is this father that didn't know God a year ago now has hope. And I quote, I'm so grateful for the help of others who have done this for us and for the Lord himself. So the bottom line is, if you leave everything for God, God will not leave you. He will be your God. He'll provide. What a great reminder for us that God is our provider. Give him our all, no matter who rejects us, and God will bless us, and we'll be a blessing to others.
Absolutely. Pastor Mark, thanks. And folks, don't forget thesigns.org for everything related to our program, including sending Pastor Mark a prophecy question like Stephanie did today, which we always love to get. In the meantime, have a great weekend, and we'll see you back here next Friday at 1:30 for more Signs of the Times. Follow the signs.